My name is Kate Conroy.
And I'm Vinny Civitello.
And this is Other People's Business, which is the podcast from the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, which is the largest business association in the state of New Jersey, representing about 1.1 million employees, which is a lot. If you need more info, visit us at njbia.org.
So today we're joined by Kim Warwick from New Jersey Shares. So say hi, tell us about
yourself. Hi, how are you? Good, thank you. Good, good, good. My name's Kimberly Warwick. I've been with New Jersey Shares for going on 15 years this year. New Jersey Shares is a statewide nonprofit. We handle energy assistance, telephone assistance, and water assistance throughout the state. So that's what I do.
Very cool. All right, so we're going to start, as we always do, with an icebreaker. What is the last movie that you saw?
So I'm a big movie buff. Okay, so the last actual movie I saw was the remake of Beauty and the Beast. In theaters, it was Wonder Woman, but you know, Beauty and the Beast I got from the library on DVD.
That's on DVD already?
Yeah.
It was
I gotta check that out.
I did say it.
I haven't seen it yet. I don't feel like I want to.
It's never gonna
be better than the original.
It's not better than the original.
Right now.
But I don't hate it, you know, and that's a huge compliment.
Wow, that's winning praise.
I really do love the original. I mean, none of the new songs did anything for me.
Yeah.
I did like, there's a portion in the movie where the two of them will talk about books. Like,
right.
She talks about Romeo and Juliet and everything. And I thought that was nice because it was like he was actually able to win her mind over, you know. Because, like, Belle is introduced to us as this very intelligent character and, you know, she's rejecting Gaston because, you know, he is not an intelligent character. And then the Beast got to show that,
right.
Yes, I am that guy that you're looking for. We didn't get that in the original movie, so I appreciated that at least.
Did you see that thing on Facebook about how she would have been better off with Gaston because the French Revolution was, like, just about to happen and the Beast would have had his head cut off anyway? He would have been guillotined.
Oh, my gosh.
No. They would have been driven out of the castle and, you know, Gaston was middle class. She would have been just fine with him.
Well, that almost happened anyway. This giant mob at the end of the movie, you know.
Maybe that was a precursor to the French Revolution.
Maybe. There's probably like infinitely studyable layers to Beauty and the Beast that
exactly.
We're just not thinking of.
Exactly. Okay, so my last movie was Baby Driver, which I always want to say is Driver Baby. It reminds me, the title always makes me think of one of those stupid movies where the baby gets loose and steals the car and is having an adventure in the city.
Look who's talking for.
But that's not this movie. This movie is actually about a kid whose name is Baby, and he's a driver.
That's the laziest naming.
I know.
Any parent could ever.
It's like in comparison, you can go Kitty.
Yeah.
Right. Kitty Driver.
Kitty Driver. Right.
Boy.
So true.
We're going to name him Boy.
It's so true. And you know what? His name is revealed at the end of the movie, but it doesn't
matter.
Oh, wait,
his name is not actually Baby?
No, his name is, what, is it a spoiler if I say his name?
Maybe. I mean, is that a big driving thing in the movie?
No, I don't think so. All right, I won't. Just in case.
No, because we'll definitely have people get really angry. I'm sure by the time this goes up, Baby Driver will have been in theaters for like a week and a half. And, you know, like, who's going to see him? I'm sorry.
It's so true. It's so true. All right, Kim, what's the last movie you saw?
Okay, so the last movie I saw this weekend was in a very old movie. I saw 50 First Dates for like the 100th time.
Adorable. Wow.
I've never seen that movie.
It's a great movie.
It's Drew Barrymore and
Adam Sandler.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Very low-key, very, you know, cute rom-com type thing. And, you know,
nice.
And he does get the girl in the end, I believe. I don't think that's a spoiler.
He gets the girl like 49, 50 times.
At least 50 times.
That's awesome. But you have a thing about movies, don't you?
I do. Gone back about probably maybe 7 or 8 years ago now, I decided on for my New Year's resolution that I was no longer going to watch scary or stressful movies.
Nice.
And it is, in fact, the only New Year's resolution that I've ever kept.
Yeah, really?
I have not engaged in any like creepy, scary movies or movies that keep me awake at night or stress me out since then.
Okay.
That's awesome. So what's the last stressful movie you saw, do you think?
Oh, gosh. It probably was, I think, like one of those Saw movies that my kids had on, and I just thought, I
can't do it.
Oh my God, I can't sit and watch this. Like,
you know, they're bringing that
it.
Series back.
No,
I don't care because
I'm not
going to
watch
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't care.
I'm not going to see it. And it's not to say that I don't enjoy like a mystery or like a murder. I just don't like the blood, the gore,
sure.
the scary
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah.
So like in my movie like cabinet, you're going to see, you know, 51st Dates and Sweet Home Alabama.
Sweet Home Alabama.
I'm not kidding.
That's awesome. So, yeah. I'm with you, actually. The last stressful movie I saw doesn't even count as stressful. It was Hellboy. Mm. And I had such a nightmare after that movie. Should I tell the story of the nightmare?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. So I dreamt that I was pregnant with a demon.
Oh, Rosemary's that's lovely.
Baby. Right, yeah. And the demon was talking to me and telling me all of the things that it was going to do to the world once I had unleashed it from my body.
Wow.
And I was the only one who could hear the demon, so I was running up and down like the street trying to get passersby to help me figure out how to deal with this demon. And the demon could hear me trying to get help.
But the people couldn't.
And it's like in your ear going, you're crazy. They're going to think you're crazy.
Yes. Yes. So the demon, to get me to stop talking to people, made me throw up. And I couldn't stop like throwing up on the street. And that's when I woke up and I was like, never again. I can't do this anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, a peek into the mind of Catherine Conroy.
Here you go.
Yes, I can't make that
I'm not
up.
Going there. I don't think it's ever been quite that significant. Just that, you know.
But that wasn't even that scary of a movie.
It's totally not intended to be scary at all.
I know.
Like, yeah. It's actually kind of sad because I don't know if that's the first one or the second one, but he's got the crush on the girl.
Right.
And the girl doesn't, it's unrequited love. Like,
right.
I don't think she loves him back. What's I could that? Be totally wrong. They could end up together, have 8 children.
No. I think that's right.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen that one. I don't know.
What was her name? She had such dark hair.
Her name was Selma Blair.
Selma Blair,
I don't know
that's
her
right.
name in the movie.
No, Selma Blair is the name I was looking for. I couldn't think
I'm
of
really
it.
I'm really bad with character names in movies, but I could tell you the actors, maybe. I don't know.
So what was the last stressful movie you saw, Ben?
Well, I don't prohibit myself from watching stressful movies.
That was not your New Year's.
Yeah, but I do find it interesting that you both went horror. Like, for me, it's the psychological movies that stress me out. Like, like, it's very easy for me to put myself into the mindset of the main character of whatever I'm watching. So when things get really stressful for the main character, I could, you know, also get pretty stressed out. I think the most stressful one I ever saw was Requiem for a Dream.
Ooh,
I don't know if you ever saw
it. I heard about that. I could not.
It is just awful. So if you've never seen this movie, it's about people who make poor life choices, usually with drugs, and the consequences thereof. And, you know, for the main characters, it's actually, you know, you don't feel as bad for them because they're just addicts and, you know, they're going through what would happen. But it's bad. Like, the way everybody in that movie gets dealt a fate worse than death. But the one that really stressed me out was his mother. And the mother, like, her story throughout the movie is that she's trying to fit into the stress. So she goes to the doctor and she gets prescribed weight loss pills. And she gets addicted to the weight loss pills. And then, like, she notices that things are going badly and, like, it's having a bad effect. So she goes back to the doctor, and the doctor just kind of brushes her off, ignores her. And then everything that happens to her as a result of that is because, like, she tried to do the right thing and just, you know, it didn't.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's
so
awful.
That really stresses me out. Like, when I watch that movie, I feel so bad for her because she didn't earn the fate worse than death that she gets at that, you know, in that movie. But, yeah.
I guess sometimes the fate worse than death is just random.
Yes. There was a direct correlation, but I mean, she didn't deserve it. And I feel like for fiction, we shouldn't have done that, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff that gets me. Horror, whatever, you know, people die. It's all fiction, you know? They all get up and they go off to another movie right after that.
You're right.
If you can look at it that way, but
I can't.
You know, I feel like everyday life is just too stressful, so I'm more about putting the rose-colored glasses on and just enjoying, you know.
Well, 51st Dates is an adorable movie,
right.
So.
There you go.
I guess I need to check it out, because I agree. Life is dark enough. I don't like to spend time with dark movies and dark shows.
It's all about falling in love with the person you love every day all over again. If that doesn't hit you in the heart, you know what does.
It kind of does. All right. I'll check it out.
So tell me a little bit on New Jersey Shares.
New Jersey Shares is a statewide nonprofit. We are actually 19 years. We're going on our 20th anniversary in January, so we're very excited, looking forward to that. We do all types of utility assistance. We do gas and electric assistance for median income families. So an average family of 4 can make close to $8,200 a month and still get help. And it sounds like a lot, but I mean, it's still under 400% poverty. So these are mostly working families that are just not making ends meet, you know, maybe a single mother or senior citizens are a large part of our population that we service that, you know, bills and taxes and everything keep going up and up, mm-hmm. but their fixed incomes don't change. Mm-hmm. We help with that. We are partners with American Water and New Jersey Water. We do assistance programs to help people pay their water bills. We work with Atlantic City Electric. We want to run a program called ACE Helping Hands, which is specific to Atlantic City Electric. People who apply for that program get a grant towards their Atlantic City Electric bill. So again, another county that's been in crisis for quite some time, yeah. You know, Atlantic County, and I've been spending a lot of time down that way. And then lastly, we work with Verizon New Jersey. They have been a great partner of ours. It's the reason that I came on board back in like 2004, 2005. We run a program for them called Communications Lifeline. It is a telephone discount program that allows applicants that qualify a discount of up to, you know, it doesn't matter, $20 and change off of their landline telephone bills. Mm-hmm. You know, we are seeing that landline phones are kind of going away.
People have come
on board with their cell phones. And there are Communication Lifeline programs that are available, you know, four different cell phone carriers as well. But what we're very excited about is recently Verizon New Jersey has started a program for broadband service. And we literally haven't even had a big rollout for this yet. We've just transitioned over all of our paperwork and our applications, and our website now reflects, and Verizon, you know, we've got it together at this point. And what that's going to do, again, is it's going to give families the opportunity to choose a discount on their broadband service. And I mean, as you know today.
Wait, how do you choose a discount? Like, well, I would choose the steepest discount.
Well, it's not as true. You know, they can get the discount either on their landline phone or on their broadband. Communications Lifeline is a federal program, so you can have one discount per household, one kind of discount. So you can't have the landline and the broadband.
Right, okay.
Or you can't have a cell phone and landline. Like, you have to pick and choose which is the best fit for you. And I believe, you know, they were really seeing that there was a lot of people out there saying, you know, you can't do anything today without the internet.
Yeah.
You know, you can't apply. If you're unemployed, you can't apply for a job. You know, even when you go to a public place like a library, there's only so many computers available.
And if you don't live near a library,
well,
how do you get there if you're not on the bus line?
So,
it's hard.
You know, I mean, for senior citizens, I mean, I see it with my own parents. All of the programs have been, well, you have to go online and check that out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you don't have internet or you can't afford the extra money to have the internet put on your bill, then what do? You're kind of stuck. So again, this enables low-income, fixed-income families the opportunity to have internet service that might not have been able to afford it prior.
And are you able to, you said you can't have the landline and the broadband
internet.
No,
it's a choice.
Can you have the cell phone and the broadband?
No, you cannot.
Because that's a Sophie's choice right
there. Yeah.
Especially because, like, I don't even know what I'd pick, but, like,
I don't know.
You can't use the cell phone oftentimes without the internet.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
a tough one.
Well, I guess you could use the data, so I don't know.
You can. I mean, there's even different programs where you can call from a computer.
Yeah.
You know, I know that that's available as well. So, I mean, it's a choice that a person does have to make, and unfortunately, like life, there's a lot of hard choices.
Yeah.
But I think that this really adds just another component to the program that, you know, there was definitely a group of people that were saying, you know, we need help with this. And so I'm glad that Verizon took the time to listen, and really it's something that's available now, you know, in New Jersey, but it's a federal program, so Verizon is offering it throughout the country.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's totally amazing. And I feel like it's so under the radar. I had no idea that this program even existed until I met you.
Right.
But it's such a good corporate neighbor thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We
do so much with Verizon New Jersey. We're out at events all the time. So, you know, if you look at different community events, senior events, you know, different things down in Atlantic City. You know, we work at a lot of the food banks, and we partner with over 250 organizations throughout the entire state of New Jersey. So you can pick, you know, different organizations, and For instance, St. Paul's is one of our partners. So St. Paul's takes all of our applications. So if a person might not necessarily be able to get to Mercer County to apply mm-hmm. here at our location, but if you give me a county or you go on the website and you hit a county, it'll then show you how many areas in that county you can go and apply for all of our programs. Mm-hmm. But recently, within the last several years, we have also, just like everyone else, moved forward and our applications are available online. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's other ways to apply for these programs. We're trying to make it more accessible to people that might not be able to get out and apply in person.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So we're going to jump around a little bit.
Okay.
My next question is, what was your first concert?
My first concert was, you're like really dating me. This was a while ago.
I bet I have you beat, actually.
Oh, no. This was back in the 80s.
Okay.
So
I might still have
to be. Okay, I was at a my first concert was a Bruce Springsteen concert, and I fell in love with him from the beginning. And I've been to probably 15, 16, 17 of his concerts since then.
Wow.
So luckily, my husband drank the same Kool-Aid and also is a Bruce fan.
And
I don't think at 2 years old. My kids had an opportunity. So when they were like babies, we took them to some Bruce concerts. And
nice. And
they're in their 20s now, and I'm pretty sure that all of them are huge fans. So, you know, that was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, I have to confess, I hate concerts.
Yes. Yeah. I really, really hate concerts. Yeah.
Yeah. My first concert was Jet, which I don't even know if they still exist.
Jet.
Yeah. Okay. It was, I don't even know. I was in grade school.
Okay.
It was really so long ago. But I really hate that the moment is lost. Like, you have this live event and then it's over and all you have is your memory of it.
Yeah.
And it's actually a testament to how much I love musical theater that I will pay, you know, hundreds of dollars to go see that live performance.
Oh, absolutely.
And it only, when it's done, it's done. It only then exists in my memory.
Right.
But I hate concerts.
I actually try to avoid musical theater because I'm cursed, and every show I go to see closes within a couple months of me seeing it.
That's terrible.
So for all people like you, right. I just try to stay away.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
What was your first concert?
My first concert was the Beach Boys. That's why I said I got you beat, because they've been around since the 60s. But yeah,
love the Beach Boys.
I don't even know if it was the real Beach Boys. You know, they send a lot of people around, and I saw it with my parents when I was really young at Six Flags, and. But again, I'm...
Wow.
Now that you said Six Flags, so I had...
She's like, wait a minute, that counts? Hold on. That changes everything.
So when I was a teenager, so it is even back before high school, I mean, it was prior to high school years, I have an aunt who was absolutely like head over heels in love with both Tom Jones, and this is the scary one.
Oh my God.
Joe Namath.
Okay.
And Joe Namath did a performance at Great Adventure in that massive arena that was always packed.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought the tickets, and she, I mean, she's, you know, got 10 years on me, bought the tickets, dragged me there. I'm like, who? And we probably were one of the only 15 people in the audience, so I can
so
say.
So like that massive arena,
that
it's you? Like,
we were in the front. We could, no one was there.
Private
no one.
Performance.
It was a private performance. And
for Tom Jones?
No, it was Joe Namath.
Joe Namath. I thought you said Tom Jones for a second.
If it was, well, that was two of her favorites, but Joe
Sorry,
Namath.
My bad, my
Joe
bad.
Joe Namath. So he... Technically, I guess I have to admit, would be my first concert now that you said.
Wait, so this is why I'm confused. He sang? What did he do?
He's known as Broadway Joe back in the day. So he, when he left football, he became like an entertainer, I guess, and put out a few songs. And
he
maybe,
did not. Stop it.
I guess he did.
See, I didn't even realize that. I knew who you were talking about, but I didn't realize he did music.
Yeah.
I just thought you meant like he got a chair, he sat in front of people and started talking about his, you know, glory days or something.
He grabbed the microphone and in his, you know, probably 19s, early 70s outfit, got up there on stage and belted this concert out to...
What did he sing?
I don't...
Show tunes? I need to find out.
You're going to have to Google it, but my hand to God, the man was there. He did his thing. It was definitely something forgetful, because see, I forgot I went. So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'm just.
And then
not,
I admitted that I went.
I know.
You admitted. On air. No, I was going to say that I'm just not a concert guy, but then you said you hated it. So, I mean, I'm free to say that now.
Yeah, I hate them.
You know what it is? Like, I'm flat and wide-footed, so I hate standing up for long periods of time. And somehow, concerts have just evolved into this thing where we're expected to stand and jump around, like, all
that.
Night. And I can't stand that.
Yeah.
Like, I went to go see Run DMC, a big fan. And I'm the only one in the whole place sitting down the whole time. My wife, Tara, thinks I'm just miserable. I'm like, no, I'm enjoying myself. I'm sitting down in this chair. They are entertaining me. That was what I thought I was buying myself into here. But no, no. And then the other thing I hate, I went to go see the Jacksons, the Jackson 5, but without Michael. And
When?
Oh, 2012. They're still touring now, but like I saw them in like let's say 2012.
I had no idea they were still touring.
Well, not still. This is like a recent development. They got back together.
They got back together.
Yeah. So
is it like
I saw
the original four without Michael?
Without Michael, but yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Jackson 4, not quite the same ring as.
If you ever feel like watching this and you can track it down, the reality show that they filmed just before doing this is hilarious because it's all about how they absolutely cannot work together at all. Like all four of them
I
are huge
think they
divas.
Got along.
Yeah. They really like professionally don't like it was just like crazy the way that they work against each other but they managed to get it together. They were at the Apollo Theater. I couldn't wait because I've been a huge fan all my life, and I wound up watching the entire thing through four other people's cell phone screens because they were all holding them up like recording the whole thing, and I'm like, guys, come on, they're obviously gonna put this out on like DVD or something. They didn't. But you know, like,
still,
you couldn't have known that at the time, you know? Like,
God, that's annoying.
It's just like, who's gonna watch that stupid little recording on their cell phone for like 2 hours,
Exactly.
You know? It's gonna sound awful,
but then
it's gonna look awful.
That's like,
and you're missing it.
Missing the moment.
And
like,
you're
that's
ruining
the
it for
whole
other
point.
People.
That's the whole point of going to something live is to really, you know, be in the moment of it.
Totally agree. Yeah. People are annoying, aren't they?
And then maybe they come on late, like, you know, they have the opening act come on an hour in and then like they don't come on for two or three more hours and Ticketmaster. I don't know if I'm allowed to really dig into Ticketmaster on the
air. You know what? Not long ago, maybe 10 years ago, my husband and I got tickets to see Bowling for Soup at the Starland Ballroom, right? And
come back to Texas or
Back to Texas.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was trying to remember who they were.
Bowling for Soup, exactly. Yeah. High School Never Ends is another of their big ones. Oh my God. So I didn't know the venue at all. And Ticketmaster was like, we really suggest that you pay for premium parking so that you're not like super far away from the venue, blah, blah, blah. So I did. It was like 40 extra bucks or something. Something not that big. But I get there and it's like this big house. Like Starland Ballroom. Ballroom is not
a ballroom.
A ballroom. It's not giant. It's not a huge venue. It's not anything that I had to worry about at all. Plus there was plenty of parking. It was ridiculous. And then they waited like 2 hours before they got on stage. Like I think it was like an 8 o'clock show. I don't think that they got on stage until like 10:30, something like that. And I was just like, this is I'm
and
not
the whole
happy.
Time you're there, you're like hungry, you're thirsty, you're paying like $12 a bottle of water for whatever you
have. And they had Starland Ballroom had like this awful
people
like,
are in their cars, like, how can you hate concerts? This is awful.
I'm serious, Starland Ballroom had these like little mini pizzas for sale for like $20 a piece, and they were like personal pan pizzas for $20 a piece, and they were terrible.
And of course you're gonna pay it.
I was starving,
of course.
Oh, it was the worst.
Well, that's what they get you. I know.
Such baloney. I hate concerts.
Yeah. But I love the acts. Like the musicians, the bands. I love them.
I know.
I just, you know, I'm perfectly okay with either buying the DVD, watching it in the comfort of my own home, or just listening to the disc, you know,
there's
or the MP3, whatever
you want to call it. I do. Like, I mean, I enjoy listening. I even watch, you watch some concerts. Like sometimes even public television has some fabulous concerts on.
Or like Saturday Night Live. Like they'll have a lot. Oh my gosh, Aerosmith. Can I tell you, when I was in high school, I was watching Saturday Night Live, and Aerosmith was on, and I loved Aerosmith. I still love Aerosmith. And my dad was, like, passing through the living room, and he was like, what are you watching? You know, and it was like, to him, it's these long-haired, you know, yahoos who are just screaming out noise. Like, he doesn't get it. I'm like, oh, it's Aerosmith. It's live, you know, Saturday Night Live. It's weird, though. It's not as good as, you know, the CD. And he's like, isn't the live performance supposed to be better by definition than the CD?
No, see, I would think the opposite. I would think that, like, the one that they spend, like, 20 times trying to get right in the studio.
Right, no, you're
plus,
right.
Plus, like, Steven Tyler, you know, his voice is not nearly the same as it was on Dream On and Sweet Emotion and all that.
He's definitely gone downhill a little bit. Sorry, Steven, still
playing. Yeah, like, if Steven Tyler, if you're listening to this, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
We love you. All right, we should move on.
Yeah, so tell us what you do for New Jersey Shares.
Oh, dear Lord, here we go. So my hat rack is really big. I am, my title is Director of Client Services. So day-to-day, I run a call center for New Jersey Shares that is actually Verizon New Jersey's call center.
Okay.
So we field all of the calls for Communications Lifeline in this call center. If any of you have ever called into Verizon, you'll notice that they want to discuss your packages and that sort of thing. So this gives people who are struggling to pay their bills a venue, an ear, and we can work through those bills with them. We can work through and make sure that they're on the right program, you know, that they're getting the benefit that they might be entitled to if they fill out the application and qualify. So, you know, we see probably over 100,000 calls to that call center every single year.
Wow.
And so Monday through Friday, that's like, you know, that's my 9-to-5 gig, so to speak.
How many people do you have fielding 100,000 calls a year?
You know, we have probably give or take. I mean, we have part-timers that come in and fill in during busy periods, but usually just about over or under 10 reps. We're right around 10. And we do paperwork processing for them as well. So we actually get the applications. We go through them and then we pass, you know, completed ones on to Verizon to approve or deny for the program.
Right.
So, you know, we kind of have the call center piece. We have the office, you know, paperwork piece. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, again, like I had mentioned, I'm out in the community. I do a lot of community outreach, a lot of government outreach. So you might see me, you know, on an assembly day down here at the State House or, you know, I've been doing a lot in Atlantic City. We've been in a lot of the casinos, you know, worked with the people at the Trump Taj Mahal that just recently last year lost their jobs, mm-hmm. and work very closely with a lot of other agencies. So if we can't help them, we refer back and forth. I mean, just like they might not be able to help with energy assistance, they might be able to help with, you know, maybe food or something. They refer to us, we refer back to them for things
nice.
We can't handle. So like other nonprofits, we kind of all pull together and work as a team and you know, so you'll find me everywhere. You'll find me from Sparta, New Jersey down to Cape May on any given day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the state is your territory.
The state, all 21 counties in this wonderful state.
That's amazing.
Yes.
And you live locally, right?
I do. I live right here in Mercer County. I was born in Mercer County, and
well, you're a Springsteen girl.
I'm a Springsteen. Yeah, but you know, I don't know. I think I could live anywhere and still be a fan. But who knows?
Guess, yeah.
You know,
it's just not the same if you don't.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
I mean, I don't know that empirically. Yeah.
No, but you know what? It's funny. I'm not originally from New Jersey, and when I first moved out here, one of the first things I noticed was how much Springsteen and Billy Joel is played on the radio, just because this is where they're from.
Right.
And it was sort of like a, wow, how cool kind of moment. I remember I was on the phone with my mom telling her, like, it's kind of cool. Like, the radio is kind of full of Springsteen and Billy Joel. It's like one of those weird things, you know?
I mean, he's not exclusive. I have a lot of groups that I like, but he's one of my top favorites. So
yes. He's great.
But yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that's where you'll find me. I mean, if you want to check out our website or our Facebook page, we always have our events posted on there. And maybe
what's the website?
We are www.njshares.org.
Shares, plural.
Shares, plural. And
.org, single.
.org, yes, single.
Thanks,
plural, single. And you know, we've moved forward. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Uh-huh. So please check us out, like us, show up, and support us. We have an event coming up.
Yeah.
Can I mention? Is that okay?
Tell us. Yeah.
So on July 27th, we have a fundraiser coming up, and we are going to be at the Tun Tavern in Atlantic City. The Tun Tavern has been very generous. This is our second year, and we're hoping to make it an annual thing. They're donating 20% of all food, adult beverage, and drink purchases back to New Jersey Shares. There's a coupon on our website. You have to show it to the server. We're going to be having, I guess, 15, 16 guest bartenders that range from some of our assemblymen to the mayor to the chief of police is going to be there.
Wow.
So we have a really interesting group, and some of our agencies that are down there are going to be coming out, and we're hoping that it's a real fun party. We're there from 12 noon to midnight.
So how often do you do it?
It's an annual, we're making it an annual thing, I should say. It is our second, so I guess that means.
Second annual.
But for us, that's a pretty big deal. And, you know, it's wonderful that we have such great commitment in the city of Atlantic City. I think, you know, the fire chief is attending, you know, all of the people pull together because they all know that the city has been struggling and that any, you know, help for their people. Everything we make at this fundraiser stays in Atlanta County to help the people in Atlanta County.
That's huge. I know that that's always been a question for supporting not-for-profits. Where does the money go? That's really huge.
Well, 100% of our donations always go back to support in the community on our different programs, but from time to time we have different requests, and the people at TUN had asked us, you know, they're more than happy to open their doors and open up their venue and literally let us take over their bar. You know, I mean, I'm going to have people awesome. Behind their bar. Their bartenders will be there helping, of course, but you know, they've been wonderful. And so that their only request was, can you keep the money here? And we said, absolutely. If you're willing to do that with us, then, you know, we're willing to work hard for you guys.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
All right, last question.
Sure.
So this was the question that I was most lukewarm about when we started the pod. Mm. And now it's kind of become my favorite question.
Okay. Mm.
So what are you hoping for this week?
It's an optimistic way to end an optimistic podcast.
It is. So unlike me, right?
What am I hoping for this week?
Yeah, what are you hoping for this week?
Well, let's see, when is this going to air? Because I'm hoping.
Actually, unfortunately, it's going to air after your July
27th. Yeah.
Exactly. But that's why I asked how often you do it. So the next time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay. But so sorry I spent some time on that.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. I'm sorry.
But let's see. So I'm hoping that my husband does, in fact, go to North Carolina this weekend so I can have a weekend to myself.
Isn't that the best?
He's planning a trip down to see my son and my daughter-in-law. And because of work commitments on Monday, I can't join him. But I am equally excited about having some downtime and time for just me, which is not often. So
my husband just got back from Boston, so he was gone this whole last weekend, and it was so nice to have the house all to myself.
Yeah.
It stayed clean after I cleaned it.
It stayed clean.
It was just beautiful. It was fabulous.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, it's supposed to be really hot, but I think maybe a beach day might be in order or something.
Well, it's like every other day is either 90 or raining.
Yes, one or the other.
Exactly.
But, you know, just get through the work week every day.
Mm-hmm. What are you hoping for?
All right, so I'm going out to dinner this weekend with my parents and my in-laws as a thank you for, you know, they helped us out with our baby shower. They threw the baby shower, you know.
Right.
Oh, that's
not
so
just
nice.
Helped us out. We had no part. So we wanted to thank them, and we were going to take them out to dinner somewhere. And as a joke, my wife, she said, you know, you've been hoarding your Fridays points since you were in high school.
TGI Fridays.
Yeah, TGI Fridays.
Oh,
so I've got, you know, well over 1,000 points, and it only takes like 200 or 300 to get like a free steak dinner. So she was like, as a joke, you know, why don't we just go in there and, you know, ask for 6 steak dinners, a dessert, a couple appetizers, because we would be able to do it all within the amount of points that I have. So what I'm hoping for is that they allow that. I mean, it's not a super expensive restaurant anyway, so it won't break the bank if they say no, but still, it would be nice to be
able to do stuff like that.
I know, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I have a Starbucks rewards card, and I love getting my free drink.
Yeah? Have you ever gone in there and been like, I want 6 free drinks and all in one shot?
Never done that. No, I've never tried to do
They're
that.
Totally going to kick me out. I can see it now.
I think, they don't have a bouncer there, do they?
No. Yeah, probably. No. Well, no, they have the greeters
manager.
At the front, you know. Have a nice day.
Right. The general manager would be like,
and please get out.
Please get out.
They'll say it in the nicest way. It'll be like, so adorable. Please leave. Never come back.
Never come back, sir.
So what are you hoping for?
Good for you. Look at you taking the reins. So I have a bit of a situation on my hands. I don't know if you've noticed, but this summer there's been this all of this chicory, which is a wildflower, I think, probably a weed. It's purple, and it's been growing on the side of the roads in New Jersey this summer, and it's really beautiful. And I've been wanting some. And so steal is too strong a word. But I found a patch of it not far from my house in front of, you know, abandoned land. Nobody owns it. So I liberated some chicory, and I relocated it to my backyard, and it's not doing very well. And so I'm really hoping that it doesn't die. I'm hoping that I can give it some plant food.
Why would you deliberately plant a weed in your garden?
It's beautiful.
But like, isn't the whole point of weeds that you want them out?
Yeah.
Like they spread.
That's
and
they
take over the other plants.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're totally right.
Well, I understand. I'm going to relate to what you just said. So the other beautiful flowers right now on the side of the road are those big, tall, white
the
flowers.
White ones
they're called Queen Anne's Lace.
That's Queen Anne's lace?
I think that's what they're called, but they're also a weed. And so I remember trying to pull them out of the side of the road and replant them.
Really?
And, you know, every weed in the world will grow in your backyard unless you want
it to.
So I never was successful in, you know, relocating the Queen Anne's Lace. It just wouldn't grow for me.
That's too bad.
So I hope you have better luck.
Thank you. You know, Queen Anne's Lace always makes me think of Anne of Green Gables. Do you remember the scene in the movie where Diana puts the Queen Anne's Lace and... anyway, sorry.
That's okay. Total.
I've never seen that.
I don't know why. I don't know. But I've always wondered what Queen Anne's Lace looks like.
I think that's what they are. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows?
At the very minimum, I don't think you have to worry about anybody coming after you for the liberation effort. I think somebody's going to come to you and be like, thank you so much. We were really looking for somebody to de-weed that whole thing. You just came along, did it for free.
I know. I didn't take much, but I really hope that they survive, because I went to actually a lot of trouble to steal that chicory. I had to load a bucket and a shovel into my car.
I can see you in the middle of the night in like a ski mask and a black sweater, you know, coming in there. Like every time a car drives by, you freak out and duck.
You know? Exactly.
Meanwhile, nobody cares at all that you're taking this chicory.
Literally, nobody cares. Literally. Nobody cares.
All right, so I think that's our show, right?
I think it is. Gosh, please subscribe.
Yes, iTunes, Google Play, anywhere where you listen to podcasts, please subscribe to us and leave feedback. You know, review us, write some stars. If you don't like us, maybe don't review us. No, be honest. Do whatever you want to do, you know, but it would really help us out. We want to get discovered.
Absolutely. Let's see, hashtag OPB and hashtag tripod, as in give it a try.
If you're doing it on Twitter.
Exactly, yeah. If you're doing it on Twitter. And big thanks to our early subscribers. We just checked today and we have 36, which is pretty impressive. Yes. I think.
And actually, when this is being recorded is long before this will air.
You exactly.
Know, we're trying to get some extra podcasts in the bank for when we're out on vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
So hopefully we'll have a lot more by the time.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. We really appreciate
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate
it.
No, thank you.
You guys are great.
This has been really fun. Thank you so much, Kim.
You're welcome.
Thank you, New Jersey Shares. Thank you again to our bosses for letting us do this.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is awesome.
Have so you should, you've been thanking them every time. You should throw them out by name.
All right, Michelle Sikirka, president of NJBIA.
Sure, thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. Wayne Staub.
Thank you, Wayne.
And Vin Schweikert.
Thank you, Vin.
Thank you. Thank you
Big
so
thanks,
much.
Absolutely.
Big thanks. We love you guys.
Thank you, listeners.
Thank you, listeners. Bye.
Bye-bye.